ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, text number 27. Yasvakat parato veha, yasvakat parato veha, Jata nirveda atmavan, Siddhi kritva harim gehat, Prabhrujeta narottamaha, Yasvakat parato veha, Jata nirveda atmavan, Yudhi kritva harim gehat, Prabhrujeta narottamaha. Anyone who swakat by his own awakening, paratahava, or by hearing from another, iha, hearing this word, jata, becomes nirvedaha, indifferent to material attachment, atmavan, consciousness, hridi, within the heart, krutva, having been taken by harim, the personality of Godhead, gehat, from whom, pravrijit, goes away, saha, he is, nara uttamaha, the first class human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of this material world, and this leads home depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. For quote, there are three classes of transcendentalists, namely one, the dhira, one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, by frustrated sentiment. Three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in this material world, may be a stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of form, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with the pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. I repeat. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefits by such devotional activities. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he sits in everyone's heart, nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain, such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Please repeat after me. He is certainly a first-class man.
He is certainly a first-class man
who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्ते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि वाच्या कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासी गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुलंगायते मत्कृपासभामन्ये श्रीगुरुं तीर्थार्थम्. So this is the 13th chapter of the first canto, and it is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. So we are seeing Mahatma Vidura instructing Dhritarashtra. This is considered as one of the most important portions of the first canto. Of course, there are many other portions of the first canto which are very significant, such as the prayers of Kunti. So equally powerful and relevant instructions are being given here by Mahatma Vidura. So here, Prabhupada is making one very significant observation. He says that no matter how hard the heart is, how unqualified, how fallen the recipient is, but sometimes by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, by the intense desire of the pure devotee of the Lord, or even by the tireless efforts of the pure devotee, even in the heart of the most unqualified people, sentiment of bhakti, the feeling of bhakti can awaken. So here Prabhupada is saying in one of the purports here, in this, he's saying this is made possible by the association with pure devotees of the Lord. Dhritarashtra was lucky to have a brother whose very association was the source of liberation. So it appears that sometimes you see in the Bhagavatam such incidents like the liberation of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra didn't seem to have any specific personal qualification to become a devotee or to become liberated. He just had the good fortune of having Vidura as his brother. So simply by the power of association with Mahatma Vidura, there was an awakening of the desire for renunciation even in somebody like Dhritarashtra. So here in today's purport, Prabhupada is saying there are actually three classes of transcendentalists. The Veera, one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. The second class, Prabhupada is saying, one who is in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi. But someone who is in the renounced order of life because of frustration, Prabhupada is saying frustrated sentiment. And the third class, Prabhupada is saying, is a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of God who resides in his heart. So the third class is a sincere devotee of the Lord who through the process of hearing and chanting awakens his God consciousness to a point where he actually leaves his home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that not everybody will do this. Hear and chant and then leave your house. A lot of people do that. Depending completely on the personality of God. But Prabhupada says, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, to develop some renunciation is also okay in the sense that it should be treated only as a stepping stone on the path of selfless, stepping stone on the path of bhakti. In other words, we should look at, you know, after all, Rupa Goswami in our parampara says, yena kena prakarena, somehow or other, if you have come into process bhakti, that is good enough. You are not so worried why you came. Maybe out of frustration, maybe because you did hearing and chanting in the proper way. Somehow or other, you have come to the process of bhakti. So now, even if somebody comes to the process of bhakti after frustration, and even if someone practices renunciation out of frustration, out of disappointment, and comes into the path of bhakti, both of these are considered as stepping stones. Very clearly classified as stepping stones. But stepping stones leading to what? That also Srila Prabhupada tells us. The real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. In other words, it's a stepping stone and it should ideally lead to complete dependence on Krishna. Which means, bhakti should become a reality, a very strong reality in one's life. Like for instance, many of you are employed. You work for some company or somebody. That is a reality. It's not just an expression of sentiment. You go, you work for somebody, and then end of the month you actually get paid. And because you get paid, you keep going. I mean, your employment with that person or that organization continues. So it's reality. In the same manner, Prabhupada is saying that faith in Krishna should become such a strong, strong reality. If somebody asks what you're doing, you should be able to say, I work for Krishna. I'm working for Krishna. So that working for Krishna, performing acts of bhakti, should become an equally strong reality in one's life. But then, of course, Prabhupada here goes on to explain certain qualities of such a devotee. He says that even in the darkest of jungles, such a steadfast devotee is not disturbed. Because he knows he is not alone. Krishna is there as Paramatma, everything under the control of Krishna. So there is no question of him being disturbed. Or there is no question of someone like that looking for an external arrangement of protection other than Krishna. There is no question of looking for another external third party protection other than worship of Krishna. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. So one should therefore practice hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And then comes the most important statement of this purport. So in this statement, Srila Prabhupada is saying this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. Srila Prabhupada is saying in proportion to one's sincerity, to that extent one's God consciousness awakens and becomes a reality in his life. So in other words, Prabhupada is actually referring to, by making this statement, he is referring to Mahatma Vidura. Because in the case of Mahatma Vidura has already demonstrated the quality that is being spoken about here. Mahatma Vidura, if one remembers from the proceedings of the previous shlokas, Mahatma Vidura came back to Hastinapura, to the palace of King Yudhishthira, not because he has come to know that Yudhishthira has won this war. Yudhishthira has become the emperor of this universe. And I am his uncle. And hence he is the emperor. So maybe, no, not with any such intention. Mahatma Vidura came back to Hastinapura because of his affection and concern for Dhritarashtra. Not because of any other reason. So he had already demonstrated, he was already practicing a renounced order of life where he was completely dependent, like it's mentioned here, a sannyasi or a renunciant, a sincere devotee who awakens his God consciousness and leaves home depending completely on the personality of God who resides in one's heart. In other words, Mahatma Vidura, it was the highest class of renounced order. the highest class of transcendentalists, as described in this purport, who has already reached a platform where he has quit his house, he is absolutely free from any material interest, any material entanglement, any material association. When we say material association, we are talking about association with even his own members of his own family. He became free from any such interest. You see, sometimes people say, oh, no, I don't have interest in my family, I am retired, but they still stay in their house. Sometimes people say, well, I'm very satisfied, content with whatever Krishna is giving me, whatever comes on its own accord. But they will still, you know, tend to stay in there. So Mahatma Vidura had transcended, had gone way beyond that. He had no interest of any nature in either his family or his nephew or his responsibility or whatever, as an uncle or a family or nothing. Transcended everything, and he had left his home and was practicing the art of depending completely on Krishna and situated in one's heart. Practicing the art of bhakti, which means depending completely on Krishna who is situated in one's heart. So they are called the third class of transcendentalists. In this purport they are referred to as the sincere devotee class. The sincere devotee class of devotees, of transcendentalists, who have no interest of any nature in the material world. So, Mahatma Vidura comes to free his brother Dhritarashtra from attachment. Actually, Mahatma Vidura was practicing, like we see here, it appears like he was practicing a life of renunciation. But only Srila Prabhupada had the courage to say, and so clearly and so emphatically Prabhupada would say, renouncing material relationships or material property or material situation is by itself not a very high quality of renunciation, because anyway nothing is yours. Anyway nothing is yours. So what does it mean to renounce something that is not yours? Prabhupada said that by itself will not give you any spiritual credit. But that will create a situation which will make it conducive to practice bhakti. Actually, a living entity's consciousness is so completely engrossed in improving its material situation. Now, the desire to improve one's material situation can be seen across all forms of life, across all the planets. Even if one is in the Indra Loka, they have this desire to keep on improving their material situation. So when the ocean of nectar is being churned and Amrita comes out, and the devatas have intense desire to grab that and consume all of it themselves. So the desire to improve one's material situation becomes an obsession for the living entity. So much so that, Prabhupada is pointing out here, so much so that a devotee sometimes, I'll just read two lines of the purport and you'll understand. Nor does the Lord give any direction to person to worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of first class human being. So this desire for material improvement, material progress, is such a major contamination in the thinking of devotees that sometimes they even resort to the practice of bhakti in order to make material gain. So here Prabhupada is saying, the Lord does not, nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship Him for material gain. Actually a very strong and powerful statement Srila Prabhupada is making. Prabhupada is saying, next line, such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of first class human being as mentioned above. So, worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain. Sometimes devotees get confused. They wonder, or they think, what is the motivation to worship the Lord if I cannot ask for material gain? Or sometimes they even think, what is wrong in asking for protection? Or for instance, other seemingly harmless material things. What is wrong in asking Krishna? Actually, in our parampara, such an attitude of worship of Krishna is not very encouraged. Definitely, worship of Krishna, like Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, even if it is with the desire for some material gain, is welcome, is very auspicious, is very good, but it should be seen only as a stepping stone. It should be seen only as a stepping stone. Now, stepping stone to reach a platform, where Prabhupada is calling the third class, the highest class of transcendentalists, where someone becomes qualified, someone becomes ready to leave home and just depend on Krishna, situated in one's heart. Although such devotees who have certain level of material desire or material progress may be the motivation for practicing bhakti, even for such devotees, the message of the Bhagavatam is that to look at the example of Mahatma Vidura. Prabhupada writes towards the end of the purport, he writes, there are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. So, if you look at this purport, there are three things, essential things that Srila Prabhupada is saying about. First thing he's speaking about is there are three classes of devotees. Three classes of transcendentalists. One first class of transcendentalists who is disturbed by family association. First class of transcendentalists is one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. The second class of transcendentalists who is in the renounced order because of frustration in material life. And the highest class of transcendentalists is the devotee of the Lord who is practicing how to depend on Krishna completely, fully. Krishna situated in one's heart. And he cultivates this bhakti through the process of hearing and chanting. So the second important thing that Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport is that something about in Prabhupada. Yeah, here it is. The second important thing, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. So we should reflect on what is the meaning of this word sincerity. Literally the word sincerity means, now let us say I assign you a particular task. I give you some material and say go to the city of Mysore or somewhere, meet Mr. Reddy or something and give this article to him. Sincerity means to actually take this article and find out where the city called Mysore is and to actually go there and make a sincere, genuine, honest effort to locate that this gentleman, Mr. Reddy, and try to hand it over to him. That's called sincerity. Sincerity means faithfully execute to the best of one's ability the instruction received. So here Prabhupada is saying, in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. Which means when we hear instructions like this, Krishna is saying, Srila Prabhupada is saying that to worship the Supreme Lord with material gain in mind and to worship the Supreme Lord out of love, out of a desire to please the Lord. So one should make a genuine, honest effort to understand these instructions and try to become a first-class transcendentalist as recommended by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, as shown, as demonstrated by people like Mahatma Vidura. Mahatma Vidura had absolutely no material interest, though his nephew was the emperor of the world. Had no material interest, no material inclination, no material association, no material entanglement. And Prabhupada says, that is the role model. That is the role model that we have to follow. The model of Mahatma Vidura. And Prabhupada says, it is personalities like these who should be our guides in our path of self-realization. In other words, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if your guide or role model in your spiritual life is not someone like of the class of Mahatma Vidura, then you may not actually end up being able to please the Lord. You may not actually end up being able to completely please the Lord, but you may end up at a different level. And what is that level? That also Prabhupada defines. There is another level Prabhupada is defining and says that level is, there is a level of bhakti. By performing bhakti, there is a level. Such devotees of the Lord may be blessed, such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of first class transcendentalism. That means there is a level where you will be considered a devotee, you are a devotee, you are also being blessed by the Lord, but you will be best blessed with materialistic benefits and you will not be considered as a first class transcendentalist. And here in this shloka, Vidura is also saying, very strongly saying to Dhritarashtra, a first class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of this material world and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead. But of course, see, Srila Prabhupada actually gave us a workaround. Prabhupada never said leave your home and now practice the art of depending on Krishna completely in your heart. He gave us a practical workaround, very applicable to Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada says, this is the only place where you can, these are these few instances where you can invoke the word Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya cannot be used loosely by saying, I will do whatever I like and then some result I will offer to Krishna and then Krishna should be pleased. No. The proper application of the word Yukta Vairagya means, Yukta Vairagya means doubt ailing. So Prabhupada is not recommending, because it will create a lot of disturbance in society if somebody hears and walks away like this. So Srila Prabhupada says, no matter where you are, whatever ashram or varna you are situated in, offer everything to Krishna. Connect everything to Krishna. Offer everything, connect everything, and perform every activity for the pleasure of Krishna. Now this mood of further pleasure of Krishna is very significant, because if we do not cultivate this mood of further pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of devotees, for the pleasure of Vaishnava, for the pleasure of Guru, if this mood is not cultivated actively and consciously, then the contamination of wanting to do bhakti for material gain will come up in one's mind. Contamination of wanting to perform devotional service because we want a material gain. Clearly Prabhupada is calling that a contamination. Because he says here, Lord, nor does the Lord give any directions to persons who worship Him for material gain. That means, actually Krishna is having some kind of a hands-off attitude. Yeah, I know you are my devotee. I know you are worshipping me. I know you are worshipping me very well, very intensely, very strongly. But you have a material desire in mind. That is what is motivating you. So for such devotees, Prabhupada thinks Krishna will refrain from giving clear directions, because for them Krishna is like the order supplier. I'm doing this because I want something in return from Krishna. So Krishna refrains, hesitates to give direction. But when one becomes like Mahatma Vidura, learning, practicing the art of completely depending on Krishna, and actually cultivating this nature of wanting to do it for the pleasure of Krishna, wanting to do it for the pleasure of devotees, wanting to do it for the pleasure of Vaishnavas, and such a devotee becomes qualified to be directed by Krishna. And the Mahatma Vidura is one such example. Actually, Prabhupada has said many number of times, Srila Prabhupada has said, the life of a devotee is very simple, very exciting, very nice, very simple. But it gets complicated based on the extent of their material entanglement. Becomes complicated based on their extent and degree of material entanglement. Now this material entanglement is a very very unique form of Maya, called kind of Avarnantika Maya, kind of covers, very unique form of Maya. It may begin as a small seed, very small seed, very small contamination. But when it is nurtured or encouraged, it may begin very small. There's this famous story, sometimes it's quoted. Like this brahmachari who had just one coffin and one dhoti or something, was living in an ashram. He saw that he used to dry his clothes, and sometimes he saw that the rats would come and bite and eat it. He was wondering what to do with this problem, rats. Then he came up with this brilliant idea that maybe I should have a cat, so the cat will keep the rats away. Sounded like a very good idea, so it will save him from having to look for another coffin or another piece of dress. Here is this cat will take care of the rats. Sounded like a very bona fide, proper idea which is meant to promote his bhakti, actually, not because he likes cats or something. But then we know the story. Then he first gets the cat, and then he starts, you know, catches the second kiss. And so, taken care means, you know, the cat needs milk. So then he thought, yeah, maybe it's a good idea to get a cow. Again, not because he wanted to do business, sell the milk, get the money, and no, poor fellow, very nice man, very nice brahmachari. Actually wanted to practice Krishna consciousness uninterruptedly, fully. Small problem in his life, he just had a rat, just saw a rat eating his coffin once, that's all. Small problem. Just wanted to solve that also, so that then he can give 100% to Krishna or something. And then he got a cow. And then he got a wife, because he had a cat and a cow to take care of. And so the story goes on, you know, and then finally, no Krishna in his life. He has a cat, he has a rat, he has a cat, he has a cow, he's got a wife, he's got a family, no Krishna in his life. So sometimes, this may begin like a very small thing, very, very small, very innocent, very, what shall I say, very proper, very bona fide, very correct idea, which is why Prabhupada makes a point here, says, it may appear like that, but please follow the path of self-realization as shown by Mahatma Vidura. Mahatma Vidura is once a great devotee, and we should all try to follow in his footsteps for self-realization. I mean, it's not that Yudhishthira did not like Vidura. Yudhishthira actually worshipped Vidura. Yudhishthira would have given him the position of, most wise uncle, and would have followed his advice in everything. Maybe Yudhishthira would have followed every instruction of Vidura. No, but still Vidura decided, no, it's not good for me. Maybe good for him, but really not good for me. I don't want to get entangled. It's just not good for me. I want to do everything to protect my spiritual life, my Krishna consciousness. I don't want to get entangled in material life. So the temptation to get entangled may come through many, many ways. Many ways. It could come through your friends, your family, your mind. The temptation to get entangled, the temptation to take steps to protect yourself. But so what's wrong? I'm married. I need to protect myself. I need to take care of myself. So I need to be doing all these things. In just one line, Prabhupada brushes aside all such efforts. One line of his purport, he brushes aside. He says, no, you should learn to depend completely. Prabhupada is saying, go out of the house, think of Krishna in your heart, and practice the art of depending on Krishna. Prabhupada actually said, this is the life of a devotee. We should not think that when we renounce, when we give up, actually the more we give up, the more happy we are, the more blissful we are, the more joyful we are. The more entangled we become materially, the more anxious we become, and the more moroseness we develop. So the more free we are, the more happy we are. So the more renounced we are. So again, we have to understand the word renunciation properly in the Vaishnava context. Prabhupada does not encourage, renunciation does not mean, Prabhupada completely discourages that type of understanding. Renunciation does not mean to give up. Renunciation means to, Prabhupada says, always says, renunciation means to act, to identify who is the real proprietor and offer it, use it in his service. That is real renunciation. But anyway, it's not yours. So don't be under illusion saying your wife is yours or even your body is yours. Prabhupada says, how can you say your body is onto you? Prabhupada says, even your body is given by Krishna. So proper understanding of the word renunciation according to Vaishnava culture is, find out whom it belongs to and use it for the pleasure of that personality. So to that extent, if you see even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the body also belongs to Krishna. All these strengths, competencies, unique abilities, everything is given by Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna and should be used for the pleasure of Krishna. That is the correct meaning of word renunciation. Renunciation does not mean you make a huge fortune, give it to your sons or family and say, now I am renounced. No. That is not the proper understanding of the word renunciation. Or you wait till you become really old and useless, and then you say, now I'm renounced. No, the Prabhupada does not accept that as the understanding of the word renunciation. Renunciation means to accept, to understand that everything actually belongs to Krishna. Anything and everything should be used for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of Krishna. This is the real meaning of renunciation. That is the property, that is the characteristic demonstrated by Mahatma Vidura. His refusal to get entangled in any type of dealing. Such a person should be our guide in our path of self-realization. After all, Mahatma Vidura is not an ordinary person. Prabhupada says, very nicely, he says in one lecture, he calls these 12 Mahajanas. Prabhupada calls them the GBC of the world. The governing body commissioners of the world. Prabhupada calls them the GBC of the world. And he says, how once the GBC, Yamaraj, Vidura is Yama, comes down, he is not an ordinary person anything. He is spotlessly pure in his consciousness, completely clear in his understanding that everything is simply meant for Krishna's pleasure. And his idea of renunciation is not that I become old and give up and then I... No, all these things are not accepted in Vaishnava Parampara. They are not the proper understanding of the word renunciation. Our understanding of the word renunciation is to accept that Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer of everything, including my body. Even my body, my intellect, my ability, my time is meant for Krishna and for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna says, I am time. Kadosmi, I am time. So Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada actually wants to prove to this world, wants you and me to prove to this world. Prabhupada wants you and me, devotees of this movement, to prove to this world that if you accept this style, this value system and live like this, you can be happy. You can be really happy. Prabhupada wants us to practice this in our life and show to the world how happy we are. People come and say, why are you so happy? Then you should say, I am happy because I have nothing. I don't have anything. And I don't intend to have anything. Whatever comes for me, to me, I will use it for Krishna. Very, very clear. And here Prabhupada is actually giving us a warning. This warning is very important. Prabhupada is saying, two things he is saying. Two important warnings. First thing Prabhupada is saying is that the Lord, nor does the Lord give any direction to person to worship Him for material gain. There is a difference. In other words, Prabhupada is pointing out a difference between direction and material benefits. Prabhupada is saying you go to Krishna with a desire for material benefits that He may give. But there is something else called direction. There is something else called direction, guiding. That Prabhupada says Krishna may not give. If you go to Krishna for material gain. In other words, Prabhupada is giving us a warning saying, look, if you are coming, if you are going to Krishna for material gain, you may get material gain, but you don't get Krishna. And Mahatma Vidura is teaching us how to not compromise and actually get Krishna and not material gain. What's the use of material gain? Actually, the first class transcendentalist does not want anything other than Krishna. What's the use of Krishna giving you some material gain? So, Prabhupada is actually warning us, don't become distracted, whatever word you like, by the temptation of seeking material benefit, material gain by worship of Krishna. That becomes available. That Krishna may give, but Krishna won't give what is known as directions. So, even if you are on that platform where you are worshipping Krishna because you want the material gain, please look at that only as a stepping stone. Stepping stone to bhakti and follow the path shown by the Mahajanas. And then, Prabhupada is saying, one can actually move to that platform by sincerity of purpose. Elsewhere Prabhupada says in the purport, same place, in the same chapter purports, elsewhere Srila Prabhupada says, when Mahatma Vidura was instructing Dhritarashtra, and Mahatma Vidura was instructing Dhritarashtra, all the Pandavas had assembled there and were hearing with rapt attention. With rapt attention. But here is this great personality, Mahatma Vidura, who just turned his back on the whole material world and walked away. And completely and perfectly practiced the art of depending on Krishna is situated in one's heart. Who practiced renunciation properly and correctly. Who came back not because Yudhishthira had won, not because he wanted to congratulate. He was not in that mood at all. He didn't come there to congratulate Yudhishthira and then felicitate him. No, he completely transcended all these things. He came there because of his poor brother Dhritarashtra. So, sincerity of purpose. Now, there's one statement here which Prabhupada writes in italics in this purport. I'll read that for you. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, probably only in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, there is so much emphasis on these words, fully depend on Krishna. So what does it mean to actually depend fully on Krishna? At least let us try to understand whether we will be able to follow that in some lifetime by the mercy of the Lord or the Vaishnavas. Let us all pray. But to depend fully on Krishna means, someone like Arjuna fought the war of Mahabharata and the Pandavas won. To depend fully on Krishna means, if someone were to ask Arjuna, oh, such a wonderful display of archery power, such great display of heroism, such perfect military strategy you have used. Someone like Arjuna would have countered saying, no, nothing of this is true. We won because Krishna was on our side. Because we had the good fortune, we were somehow blessed to have Krishna on our side. The Supreme Lord agreed to be on our side or agreed to take us on his side. Oh really? So that means you are such great devotees, such extraordinary devotees. And Arjuna would have probably replied saying, no, it is not because of my devotion, it is simply because of his mercy. He chose. In other words, to depend fully on Krishna means not to take credit for anything. Alright, you can say Arjuna didn't take credit for his strength and credit, give the credit to Krishna. But if someone were to ask Arjuna, then, oh, so you must have been extraordinary devotee, which is why Krishna came on your side, or which is why Krishna took you on his side. Arjuna said, no. It has nothing to do with me or my bhakti. It's simply Krishna's causeless mercy. It's our good fortune that he chose us. Not because we are great devotees, not because we have great devotion. Simply his causeless mercy, which means to actually filter out from our mind, from our thinking. Filter it out, not applying a filter, it's called. Filter out from our mind any tendency to take credit for anything. Srila Prabhupada would do this. Srila Prabhupada would do this, would demonstrate this quality. When someone goes and says, oh Swamiji, such a nice monument you have built, such a wonderful thing you have done. And Prabhupada would very correctly mention that, it is simply the mercy of my guru. In fact, Prabhupada went to the extent of saying, when one time he was addressing his disciples, he said, you have all been sent by my guru, actually, just to assist me, because I'm just trying to serve my guru. If I have credit for anything, if at all I deserve credit for anything, it's credit that I deserve. It's maybe I just tried to serve my guru. So, the ability to be sincere means the ability to apply that kind of a filter in our thought process and say, actually, look at anything that comes up in our mind which is trying to take the credit for something good that is happening. Even devotional. Identify anything that comes. You might say, I practice my sadhana very well. That's why this has happened. No. The determination of a devotee, the sincerity, the humility of a devotee to say that I personally have no reason. I don't deserve this credit. I don't deserve. Everything simply because Krishna chose me. Krishna blessed me. So, that is the mood of a devotee. So, to depend completely on Krishna means, depend completely, fully on Krishna means, to actually genuinely feel like that. One thing is to try and cultivate that sentiment in our mind. Even that is very auspicious. To cultivate the sentiment saying, no, actually, somehow Guru Krishna's mercy, something good is happening. To cultivate. But to depend fully on Krishna actually means to sincerely believe in that. To sincerely believe that whatever is happening is simply because Krishna chose me as an instrument. I don't deserve any credit. So in our Vaishnava Parampara, you will find, especially in the song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, this sentiment is so perfectly brought out. Many songs written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, this sentiment is brought out. The sentiment that I am not qualified, I am not capable, I am not sincere, I am not I'm such a radical. But somehow because my guru told me, I'm trying to do something. So to genuinely believe that everything that is happening that is in our life is actually because of Krishna. Some good fortune of Krishna. So in fact Prabhupada says at one point of time in a conversation with his disciples, the Prabhupada says, he tells his disciples, actually I created your good fortune, which is why you're in such a wonderful situation now. Wonderful situation is situated so nicely in bhakti. I created your good fortune. So that is the meaning of depending fully on Krishna. So someone like Vidura, who was practicing this, and in the scripture it is said that, and we can also understand that the more we are detached, the more relaxed and happy. What time is it? The more detached one is, the more happy one becomes. So this is the path shown by Mahatma Vidura. This is the path he is educating. This is the path he is giving to Dhritarashtra. He said, why are you missing out on this great gift of life, which is to practice this art of renunciation and dependence on Krishna? Don't think about yourself. Don't think about anything. Just think about yourself as an instrument in Krishna's hands. And these material entanglements that you have got into are actually impediments in practicing this properly and fully. Submit yourself in Krishna's hands as an instrument. Completely submit yourself. Actually, such class of devotees are also called avadutas. Avadutas means, they set out in the morning and they really don't know what their destination is. Actually, wherever Krishna wants to take us, let him take us in. I'm very happy. Whomever Krishna wants me to meet, I will meet. I will talk about Krishna. Wherever I get my prasad, let me get. Where will you take rest this night? I don't know. Wherever Krishna wants me. Of course, we should imitate. The danger is the temptation to imitate. Happy Shunabhu. We should go stepping stone, step by step. First hear, first understand, then develop the conviction, and then the motivation and practice. So I'll repeat the three main points that we have learned today. The thing is that there are three classes of transcendentalists. Of that, the highest class is the sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting. And Bhagavad Pavitra is also saying that this awakening can happen on your own or from by listening to others. This awakening can happen also by listening. So listening is a very bona fide process of awakening bhakti. But Mahāprabhu is saying we should actually reach the platform where we will learn how to depend fully on Krishna. So the second point Prabhupada is saying is about the sincerity. God consciousness will grow to the, in proportion to one's sincerity. And the other point that Srila Prabhupada is making is the tendency, contamination to worship Krishna because of material gain, because of desire for material gain. Prabhupada is saying such a devotee may get gain, but he may not get direction. Obviously, Prabhupada is saying getting direction from Krishna is more valuable than some material benefit. And of course, Prabhupada ends this by saying that we should follow Mahatma Vidura as a role model in our life. Chandra, Srimad Bhagavatam ji. Any questions? Yes.
Give two examples showing that you are. First one is Arjuna's and second one is Srila Prabhupada's. That is, Arjuna says, Arjuna would have said, no, it's all Krishna. That is, Prabhupada himself said that you are being sent by my Guru Maharaj. But we observe in the battlefield of Kurukshetra that Arjuna is doing so many things. He is shooting arrows. Now, he is himself acting how that acting Krishna cannot do. Similarly, Prabhupada, he himself has gone to the West. He has spoken to his disciples, he has made disciples, and he has generated so many centers and all. He is doing, he himself is doing. So, how to understand this, Prabhu?
No, see, everything that is being given to you, Krishna, is meant to be used for Krishna's pleasure, in the service of Krishna. Arjuna was fortunate in the sense that he had Krishna personally directing him what to do. In fact, I don't know which chapter, Krishna actually tells Arjuna, hey, listen, I have a goal, I have a mission here, I know what I want to achieve. There's some plan I've already worked out. If you want, you can become an instrument. Nimittamatram bhavasabhya sachi. Arjuna realizes that there is nothing more glorious in this world than to become an instrument in Krishna's hands. Than to become an instrument in Krishna's hands. So even if Arjuna were to be endeavoring, he is looking at whatever he has been given by Krishna, loaned by Krishna, his competencies, his strength, his energies, as not belonging to him, as belonging to Krishna. Hence it has to be used for the pleasure of Krishna, as per the instructions of Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna, as per the instructions of Krishna. So he is endeavoring in that mood, as an instrument of Krishna. Comes and submits himself to Krishna and says, Krishna, tell me what I should do. Tell me what your instructions are for today. And Krishna is guiding. Like it says here, when a devotee approaches Krishna, like it says here in today's purport, when a devotee approaches Krishna, not seeking material gain, and Krishna actually gives direction, which is denied to those who want to go to Krishna for material benefits. Prabhupada says, not given. Benefits are given, direction is not given. But Arjuna understood it's more important to work under the direction, become an extension of Krishna's will, become an instrument to manifest Krishna's will. So whatever he's doing as an instrument of Krishna. And that he does with all devotion. Because he knows that to offer himself in Krishna's service, and that act of offering himself, and that act is actually an act of bhakti, is an act of offering to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada also was in a similar mood. He knew his guru's intense desire to preach in the English-speaking world. He knew his guru's mood of wanting to expand and bring more people and make them devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, that instruction mood of his guru became his obsession. But at no point of time, neither we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada nor in the case of devotees of the caliber of Arjuna, were they willing to take credit for whatever manifested. So Prabhupada understood the mood. In fact, understood the sense of urgency, anxiety not only in his guru, but that is true for all the acharyas of our whole parampara. We understand even Lord Chaitanya is experiencing great amount of anxiety because he sees common people in this material world being drawn away from the path of bhakti. He's experiencing anxiety. So Srila Prabhupada actually understood the mood of anxiety among acharyas and took that upon himself and executed this mission, but never at any point of time did he attribute any of the success to himself. Other than he said, if I have any credit for myself, it is the credit that I have tried to follow the instructions of my guru. And that is the mood of our parampara. The mood of our parampara is, this is the value. The value we want to carry forward, carry downward, is whatever we are doing is because our previous acharyas, predecessor acharyas, desired that such a thing be performed. Why are we doing something? Why are we doing something? We are doing something because this is the desire of our predecessor acharyas. This is the desire of the predecessor acharyas. It goes all the way back to Lord Chaitanya. And hence we are doing something even today. That is the mood of our parampara. To become a part of the parampara means to accept the mood, accept the instructions, accept the same goal, accept the same mission, and also accept the same mood of execution. The mood of execution is, I am doing this because my guru, please my guru. Not because of any other reason. Alright? Any other questions?
I have two questions.
Yeah.
The usual condition for always looks for material progress. Always,
every point of time tries to progress in materially. So why is that? And what a solution that it should always try for spiritual progress?
The material condition soul is
When you use the word condition, the word actually implies you're habituated to thinking in a particular way. So he's rightly pointing out that a material, ordinary soul is habituated to think about material progress. Actually, Prabhupada says you should measure material progress also intelligently. Actually, Prabhupada says material progress can be measured in terms of, not necessarily in terms of wealth, but actually material progress can be measured in terms of what is known as the happiness index. I don't know if you have heard of this. Recently, they have floated this concept in, I saw that in a couple of places on the internet. It's called the happiness index. Happiness index means, alright, you may have material prosperity, but actually how happy the people are. So material progress can, an intelligent way of measuring material progress is to look at happiness. And if you follow the values given in bhakti, you can also become materially happy. What is the process of bhakti saying? Process of bhakti saying, don't break the laws of nature, don't break the regulatory principles and suffer from karma, don't become too materially entangled. Look at everything as belonging to Krishna. So you become peaceful, you become happy, you're not doing sinful activities, you don't suffer. So, if one way to evaluate a little more from a platform of sattva guna, you will see that all the principles that Srila Prabhupada is giving, which are basic angas of bhakti, will actually contribute towards material happiness also. You understand what I'm saying? Material benefits means what? What are you looking for ultimately? Aren't you looking at happiness? Aren't you looking at peace of mind? Aren't you looking at good health? Aren't you looking at peaceful family? Isn't that what you're looking at? Isn't that what you're aiming for? So the process of bhakti, by practicing different angas of bhakti, you will actually get that also. You will also get that. Your life will be more blissful. You'll be doing less sinful activities. You'll not be smoking, you'll not be drinking, you're not eating meat, you're not doing illicit sexual activity. So you're actually not violating the laws of karma. You're actually becoming happy. You're looking at everything as belonging to Krishna. You're chanting Hare Krishna. You're leading a moral, ethical, proper life. You're becoming really happy. So in other words, practicing the basic principles of bhakti, angas of bhakti, will also make you materially happy. Just that it requires a little bit of patience and intelligence to understand this. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that don't measure someone's happiness by looking at his material prosperity. Cannot be measured. Very misleading. Very, very misleading. Dangerous trap of Maya. Maya wants you to believe that material progress means have a bigger car, bigger house. No, no, no. Don't measure like that. Happiness, material or spiritual, both. Happiness means material happiness will also come, automatically come, when you practice the Anandarupa Bhakti. You still look puzzled. Aren't you happy in your life now? Aren't you happy, blissful? I can see you so blissful, happy, healthy. So look at a materialist. Materialists are troubled by anxiety, attachment, envy, fear. Devotee cannot experience anxiety, fear, etc. So, practicing the angas of bhakti will also make you materially happy. Is this clear? This is the message of Prabhupada. So much so that in the Bhagavatam it is said that one need not make a specific, separate endeavor to improve one's material situation. Don't do it. That's waste of human form of life. It's considered waste of human form of life. Such people are actually called Krupana. Not Brahmana, Krupana. Who are trying to improve their material conditions, etc. Don't do it. Simply follow the Angas of Bhakti, you will become happy. You will become blissful. You think Mahatma Vidura is trying to take Dhritarashtra out of that situation because he is unhappy and he is jealous that Dhritarashtra says, no, it's the opposite. He is so happy, so blissful. He is experiencing the highest form of transcendental happiness by being completely dependent on Krishna. He says, why are you? I'm just living like a dog inside here in this palace. Come with me. Or do what I'm doing. So even material happiness comes to those who are practicing the Angas of Bhakti. Is this clear? Okay. Vidran, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, you had one more question. I'm sorry.
You said that you have to work in the mood of pleasing a guru. Krishna or Vaishnava, but what if that Vaishnava is not pleased?
You have to work in the mood of wanting to serve and please Guru Krishna Vaishnava. What if the Vaishnava is not pleased? Sometimes there are tests in spiritual life. Spiritual life also there are tests. You get into tricky situations like this. What if the Vaishnava on whose behalf you're working does not appear to be pleased? What do you do? So Prabhupada explained that if one is sincere in its endeavor and very honest in his endeavor, then Krishna will also be pleased, the Vaishnavas will be pleased. Actually, Krishna says the whole universe will be pleased. Because this famous shloka in the Bhagavatam, it says, Yatha Saroor Moola Vishay Chanena. Now that shloka is there. Actually, you do an act of devotional service, not only the whole Brahmanda, the whole universe is pleased because we are serving Krishna, and so hence everybody is pleased. But if unfortunately someone is not pleased with you, it's explained that one should take a humble position, go and request this devotee, saying, have I done something that is offending you? Is something in my attitude or behavior or activities which is displeasing to you? And clarify. The devotees are very large hearted people. I will tell you. Devotees cannot. One thing I have seen in whatever little experience I have as a devotee, it's very difficult to keep. If you are a sincere, active devotee, very difficult to deposit in your heart, even towards another devotee, and carry on for a long time. Very difficult. So sincere, somehow, it will make you very uncomfortable in your spiritual life, and you actually try to resolve it. You pray to Krishna and then actually try to resolve. And mystically, I've seen that Krishna actually interferes through some senior Vaishnava and actually helps to resolve. Actually helps to resolve. So one should pray. Krishna saying, somehow this devotee is displeased, kindly give me an opportunity to serve him and please him. Nothing wrong. provided that devotee is also a sincere Vaishnava and he has some genuine reason to feel this need. Nothing wrong in taking a humbler position, going to Krishna, going to Guru and Krishna and saying, Krishna, please, I don't know how what I have done this life, some life, I might have offended him, kindly bless me, so I will be able to please him. Is that clear? Shri Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.